Hallelujah. As we remain standing this morning, amen. We're going to get ready to open up. Now we'll get to the place we're going to hear from the Word of God this morning. It gives me great honor and great privilege to introduce the man of God this morning that's going to share the Word of God this morning. You know, I'm very glad that God has put this man in my life and he's using him in a tremendous way, not just in my life, and I believe in all of our lives. Amen. He's been saved for over 20 years, and he's been here in Milwaukee almost 20 years. Amen. And I know that God has given him a timely word this morning. So without further ado, let's give our senior pastor, Pastor Charlie, a word as he brings forth the Word of God this morning.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats here on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm excited to see you all here this morning. Those that are here for the first time, we welcome you. Those viewing online, we welcome you as well. That the presence of the Lord would saturate the place where you live, where you're viewing this broadcast from, and that you would have an experience with the Lord today, that he would personally speak to you right there where you're at. Amen. Well, I'm excited to be giving the word here this day. Gone last week, went to Minneapolis, had a very powerful time there, and it was all the pastors from the Great Lake regions went, and went to Pastor Ray Burrell and Trish's church out there in Minneapolis, and I shared on Friday. Pastor Kenny and Pastor Williams shared on Saturday. And then Pastor Nick Walker closed it off with on Sunday morning service. And it was a very, very powerful time that we had there where the Lord, I believe, was able to deposit in VO Minneapolis. Amen. And I believe Pastor Ray and Sister Trish were very pleased and happy with the outcomes and all that took place. And so I'm back. Amen. And once again, good to see all of y'all here. So here this day, as I was thinking, I shared there Friday, and during this week, the Lord continued to minister to me with those few verses found in Leviticus, where I believe the Lord has used this. I shared in Jacksonville, Florida, using these verses and not knowing God's love, not being made aware of God's love. Then it was ministered in a certain way in Minneapolis. But I believe these verses are very powerful. And now the Lord has given me, still with these same scriptures, but a lot of different points, because I still believe he wants to speak through these portion of scriptures. So if you're taking notes here this day, I pray, amen, that you do so. Amen. If you're not taking notes, that you would reach a place in your life that I really, really want to change. Amen. If you ever went to school and you really wanted to pass, you would really study. Amen. But if you really didn't care about your grades or anything, you had no reason to study. Amen. So how many have a reason to learn God's will for your life here this day? Amen. How many have a personal reason why you must grow in the things of the Lord? And I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we all have many reasons why we need to continue to grow in the things of the Lord. So I'm going to be speaking. I spoke in Minneapolis about being made aware. Being made aware of God's presence. And if you want to be made aware of God's presence, you're first going to have to place yourself in his presence, in position. Many wanting the presence of God, but many out of position. We need to learn and to grow and mature in the things of the Lord, where we do our part. Even though God is God Almighty all by himself and he can do all things and there's nothing he can't do, he still requires for us to do our part. And there's many here, I believe, at church here this day wondering why you're facing the circumstances you're facing. And it possibly could be that you're not doing your part being a true disciple, son or daughter of the Lord. Some viewing online, there might be some things taking place right now within your life that you wish were not taking place, but I would ask, could it possibly be that you're out of position? Now, don't get me wrong, you can be in position and still be going through hard times. You don't have to be in disobedience to go through hard times. You can be in obedience here this day and be facing hard times. Because we have an adversary, we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And he just doesn't come for the disobedient, but more so for the obedient. I mean, he came after Jesus. Why wouldn't he come after us? So it's vital, it's important here this day that we learn to position ourselves in Christ so that his presence can do what he does best. Now, here this day, many, including myself, have prayed. There was praise, worship. There was prayer going on before the service started. And some of y'all just had to walk in, and you find yourself in the presence of the Lord. Through the praise and the worship, through the prayer that has already taken place, you're able to come in to an atmosphere that was brought together by us coming in prayer this morning, in the praise and the worship. But you need to get to a place, if you want the presence of the Lord to make wise decisions, to be able to take the presence of the Lord back with you to your car, from your car back to your house, to your bedroom. Amen. When you get up tomorrow morning to your job, you got to take the presence of the Lord to your job. Amen. If you're going to school, you got to take the presence of the Lord to your school, because we're living in end times right now, people. And our adversary, the enemy, the Bible says, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, some of you might say, well, he came to give me a good time. It'll start off as a good time. It'll start off as, let's go party. I'm bored. Let's go. And you can be giggling and laughing, getting high and doing these things, drinking. There's an old song, an oldie says, what you gonna do when the party's over? It goes something like, what you gonna do when the party's over? My voice is gone. My wife's voice is gone. Elias's voice is gone. Because they were going for it this morning. Amen? They were going for it. What you gonna do when the party's over? So I pray, if there's a need within your life, that you would really listen to the message here this day. And then you just not come to church today. But there's a purpose why you're here. Amen? There's a purpose why you're here. I want to teach you. Amen? I want to teach you what has worked for me, that has kept me, you know, as a disciple of the Lord for over 25 years now. And not just saved, but being used of God. Not just coming to church, but being used of God. Amen? So the title of the message, I'm just going to leave it the same, being made aware. Being made aware, as we get into the word here this day. In Leviticus chapter 4, verse 22 to 23, the Bible reads, if one of Israel's leaders sins by violating one of the commands of the Lord, his God, but doesn't realize it, he is still guilty. Amen? How many have ever done something wrong, not realizing it? You thought you were right. Amen? How many have ever been wrong thinking you were right? You're talking to my husband, Pastor. You're talking to my wife, Pastor. She need to hear this one. It's for her. How many have ever felt right where you ran with it? You stuck to your guns just to find out that you were oh so wrong. Amen. The Bible goes on to say in verse 23, when he becomes aware of his sin, because remember, you did it not knowing that you were wrong. But the love and grace and mercy of the love of the Lord is so great that he don't want you to continue going the wrong way, thinking you're going the right way. So what the grace and mercy of the Lord does, he makes you aware of what you think you're doing is right is wrong. I always tell the Lord, Lord, prove me wrong to prove me right, to do me right. See, but the problem is many people don't want to be humbled, don't want to accept that they've been wrong, that she was right all this time, she's been right. Or he's been right all this time, he's been right. I've been going the wrong way. See, it's one thing to be going the wrong way as an individual. But when you're married and you have children and you're leading going the wrong way, then this is why the world's in the condition it's in right now. My dad would always say every night I would go out, he would say, ay, 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 the blind leading the blind. Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. I thought I was right. I was having a good time. Going out, I was partying, doing my thing. Amen? How many have ever thought they were right just to be proven wrong? So here verse 23 says, when he becomes aware of his sin, amen, he must bring as his offering a male goat with no defect. Now, go back to verse 22. This is for the leaders. If any one of Israel's leaders, the Bible says, read out of the NLT. Amen? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 4, verse 27 now. If any of the common people sin, just a regular person, regular Joe Blow, amen? You find yourself in the house of God here this day. You've come to check it out. You're checking it out online here this day. And you're, or you might be a brand new convert. Amen. And here God's word is making you, amen, accountable for your sin also. It's just not for the leaders, but for the common people. Let's read. The Bible says, if any of the common people sin by violating one of the Lord's commands, but they don't realize it, they are still guilty. Just as much as the leader's guilty, so is the common person. It goes on to say, when they become aware of. In other words, I believe it could be your first service here today. And if you're listening and not daydreaming and wandering off in your mind, checking him or her out, but being focused on what the Lord is focusing in, that he's wanting to do right now in your life, you could just be here for the first time, not know nothing of the Bible. You could be online viewing, and God's grace and mercy as towards the leader, towards you as well, will make you aware of your sin. It's what the presence of the Lord is able to do. It's able to bring you to a place in making you aware that you're going the wrong way. What you've been doing is sin. It's not partying, but it's sin. And it, they also must bring an offering for their sin, a female goat with no defects. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you glory. Give you honor. I pray that you put me to the side, that you speak to your sons and daughters. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. So here we find whether you're a leader or someone just starting off in the things of Christ, or you've been in the church for years and never became a leader, amen. The Bible tells the leader and the common person that when we sin, and even though we're not aware of it, amen, we're still guilty. We're still guilty. And I put here in my notes, that's why the presence of the Lord is so important within our lives. What I want to put onto the message that's fresh right now, I put here, I believe we're that offering that the Lord wants that comes with many defects in the beginning. See, he's telling them to give a male goat if you're a leader, a female goat, amen, if you're a common person, amen, but without defects. And I believe what the Lord wants is not a goat, amen, a male goat or a female goat, whether it's perfect or not. I believe what the Lord wants here this day is your life, is your marriage, is your children. Where you're going, in what direction are you going? I believe the Lord wants you here this day. And even though you and I come with many defects, he still wanted us so much. Ask me how much God wanted us. That he sent his only begotten son to the cross to pay the price of our sin in full. For us to have full victory. How many can claim they got the full victory right now? And if you can, I believe you should be preaching the message here this day. But the truth is, we have victory in Christ based on what he did, not based on what we did. When my life was given to the Lord at the altar there at Victory Rowery, Salinas, California, that would be putting it lightly to say that I was filled with many defects. I was demon-possessed. I was 20 legions. I came messed up. My mom and dad wanted nothing to do with me. My brothers and sisters wanted nothing to do with me because my actions and my sin and my defects were too great for them to bear. But one day, as I was doing time in the prison system there in California, somebody entered my cell without the cell gate being opened, and his name was Jesus. He came into my cell to make me aware of two things. One, of my sin. And two, that he loved me. That he had a plan for my life. And there was no way I could believe that until I was made aware of my sin. You see, when you're still at the place where you ain't made aware yet of your sin, you have no need for Jesus. You have no need for Jesus. You're rolling hard. Ain't nobody going to stop you. Because you feel that you're going the right way, that you're living a good life. That others have it worse. So you come to a conclusion that you're okay. You got a job, you're paying the bills, you're going to school, you're okay. You got an old lady, you got an old man, you got some kids. Like everybody else. And I believe here this morning That we're living in end times and the Lord is wanting to make you aware of your sin that has already been dealt with at the cross of Calvary. He wants to set you free here this day. So you don't remain with the defects of 10 years ago. And you still got the same defects. And you still got the same defects because you're still going the wrong way. The Bible records that He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. If you're going any way other than the way of the Lord, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. Because you got a great job don't mean you're going the right way. The Lord wants to make us aware of our sin so that we can do something about it. How many wants a breakthrough here this day? I would have to ask, are you willing to let go of what's been not giving you the breakthrough? You're going to have to let go of a few things. You're going to have to let go of a few friends, so-called friends. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to let go of. But too many times we're looking for the breakthrough, holding on to the things that brought bondage. We want bondage and breakthrough all at the same time. It don't happen. It don't happen like that. You can't be in prison and at the bar at the same time, amen? Jesus probably can't, but you and I can't. Jesus here this day is wanting to make us aware of the sin within our lives. Not to be a Holy Ghost buster, but to set you free. Not to put you under the bus, but to set you free. I believe that not one of you would be here this morning in church if you had it going on. I mean, if you really, really had it going on. You nor I would have no reason to be here this day. But because the Bible says that we all fall short of God's glory and honor daily, we have a need for a daily Savior, not a once a year Savior, but a daily Savior, because there's many defects of sin, the consequences of sin within our lives. And that's why the presence of the Lord is so important within our lives. Both to the leader and the common person. And I believe that we're that offering that the Lord wants that comes with many defects in the beginning. I want to speak about positioning your life in the presence of God to allow Him to do what He wants to do in and through your life. It's very simple. If you position yourself in a bar from 9 o'clock till 2 in the morning, it weighs heavy that you're going to be drunk by the time you walk out, because that's what positioning yourself in a bar would bring your life. It's the atmosphere that produces somebody at the end of the day to be drunk, get in a fight, go to jail, crash, wreck, get divorced, all that stuff. But some still say, I worked hard all week. I deserve. When you say, I deserve to go to the bar, you say, I deserve to get divorced. I deserve to have my house a mess. I deserve for my children to be running crazy. I deserve for all this to happen to me. But some, because you ain't made aware of it yet, believe you deserve, because you worked so hard all week, to go get drunk at the bar. You deserve it. I believe as when we give our lives, that offering that comes with many defects, not without defect, but with many defects, that every time we place ourselves in God's presence and respond correctly, He removes a defect from our life. Every time we get in the presence of the Lord, we position our lives for the Lord to remove a defect from our life, or for the Lord to answer a prayer of the many that we have within our lives. But I also believe that every time, every day we don't position ourselves in the presence of the Lord, that you give the enemy opportunity to deposit a defect within your life. So when you position yourself in Christ, you're allowing His presence, His love to come upon you to remove a defect from your life. But when you don't, and the presence of the Lord is not there, amen, because you didn't position yourself, you give access to the enemy to come and deposit a defect, a lie in your life. As I was praying this morning, and as the rooster was crowing in the background, it's important being in the presence of the Lord. And you got to start somewhere. I got a simple thought and prayer 365 days in a year. Amen. If I pray every day for 365 times, I allow the Lord to come in and remove defects from my life. 365 if He pulls one out every time you get in prayer. Amen. I allow the Lord in my life to remove the defects from my life, the consequences of the many years of sin. Every time I place myself in the presence of the Lord. And to be a sinner is not just for the drug addict here this day. It's for the highly educated. You too need to place yourself in the presence of the Lord. So I said, but I've been saved for 25 years. So if I multiply that times 365, I was on my calculator today. It comes out to 9,125 times. I'm getting educated now, the edumacated. Almost 10,000 times in my salvation with the Lord, 10,000 times I allowed Him to come in and take defects out of my life. Is there more? Yep, there sure is. I keep it real. He's still taking defects out of my life. But if I add the Wednesday services I've come for 25 years, if I add the Friday services I come to and the Sunday services on top of the 24/7 putting myself in the presence of the Lord, it's many, 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 way over 10,000 opportunities I gave my life to be changed and transformed by the Lord by placing my life in His presence, where He just kept taking defect after defect after defect after defect out of my life. You want your breakthrough? Position yourself in the presence of the Lord. I don't care if you live in the hood. I mean smack on the south side. I don't care if you live smack on the north side where it is rocking. I want to let you know where sins abounds, the grace of the Lord abounds even the more. It don't matter where you live. It's who we praise. It's who we worship. He did the work. Some of you I put here, I also put in the many thousands of opportunities I gave my life for the Lord to remove defects from my life. Not only did He remove defects, but I also believe He has two mighty powerful hands. I believe the tens and twenties and thirties of thousands of times that I sat myself in the presence of God, including the conferences and the mighty men's of valors that lasted all week, the conference coming around the corner. I believe not only that the Lord continued to take defects out of my life, but I believe when he took a defect, he would deposit who he was, his plan, his purpose for my life. And I testify here this day, that's why my life has been changed. I'm just not clean and sober, take the defects out, but he has deposited who he is, his plan for my life, how he wanted to work through my life as well. See, he wants to clean up in order to deposit who he is, but he's got to make room. He wants you. He don't want no goat. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you here this day. He don't care how many defects you have. He don't care what you've done. Because our Father knows what the Son did, his Son did at the cross. Outweighed everything we all did at the same time. Power of the blood of Jesus. Some of you I put here are accepting who you are right now. I put here when it's not who you are. Some of you are accepting who you are right now. This is the card of hands that just got dealt to me. My mom was this, my dad was this, grandpa, grandma. This is why I'm like this. Some of you are accepting who you are right now when it's not who you are. Pastor Ray mentioned out there that, you know, it's not about changing. You can change what you're eating and not be in the presence of God. You can go work out and gain muscles outside of the presence of God. If you want to change some, you know, and want to be all buff like Pastor. Amen? Some of you can go on a diet if you want to lose weight, and if you do it, you can lose weight. You can change how much you weigh without being in the presence of God. You can change the girl you're with right now, the guy you're with right now. Some of you are saying, yeah, I think I need to do that. It's not her, it's not him, it's sin. Amen. So change ain't good enough. But my life has been transformed. Amen. It's been transformed. I'm now who God always wanted me to be. I'm no longer that dope dealer, drug addict in the corner, and a jailbird in the prison house. I thought that's who I was. So that's why I did it for all those years. Because I thought I was right in who I was. But I was so wrong when the person of Jesus came in and made me aware of my sin and told me, this is not who you are. This is not who you are. You're living a lie. And I come with the truth. I am not only the way, but the truth and the life. Some of you are accepting the life you're living right now and not placing yourself in the presence of the Lord, and coming to church is hard enough when the Lord wants you every day. I don't know about you, but I'm still madly in love with my wife 25 years later, where I still want her every day. Every day. It don't have to be Valentine's Day. For me, I'm going to keep it PG today, okay? I'm going to keep it PG. I'm trying to be a polished speaker nowadays, amen? Back in the day, I would go for 10 minutes straight right there. It don't have to be Valentine's Day for me to want to be with my wife. You know why? My life has been transformed. Her life has been transformed. Guess what? You might see Sister Marlene over there and Pastor Charlie here, but the Bible says that's not who we are. The Bible says we are one. So I would be a dummy not to love her, would not be loving myself. Some of you running around mad at your old lady 24/7. And if you're married, the Bible says the two are no longer two, but have become one in Christ. So I would be dumb and dumber to stay mad at my wife would be to shoot myself in the foot. It's not wise, because it's not the way of the Lord. Amen? You just can't be a believer. Look at all the little stickies I got. I had all kinds of stickies today. I started writing with the stickies. Last sticky says, you just can't be a believer. Too many believers. You can go to the streets today, amen, and ask a guy drunk on his behind. I believe in Christ, I'm saved. A guy high on crack, he'll tell you he's a believer. Stoned out of his mind, I'm a believer. I know who Jesus is. I said, you just can't be a believer. You have to desire to place yourself in his presence. The only way you're going to get to a place to find out who you really, 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 really are. Somebody might be telling you right now, you're just a this and a that, and that's all you'll ever be. And they might have part of it right. Oh, you're just a this and this. Your life is never going to change. You're going to remain like, you're going to die like that. And you deserve it. They might be partially right, but it's not what Christ says. It's not what Christ says. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, man, I could park the service right now. Make an altar call right now. This is where it's at. You guys got to make a decision in your life if you want victory or not. Coming to church ain't going to give you victory. It's part of the process only. It's part of the process. Second Corinthians 5:16. It's Paul writing. If anybody had it all together and was educated, all authority, all power, all that, it was Paul. Even when he was Saul, he had the authority and the power, but he was going the wrong way. This is Paul now says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. This is Paul speaking. That he was looking at people incorrectly, viewing their lives incorrectly. Have you ever viewed somebody's life incorrectly? You know, we always say, don't judge a book by its cover, amen? So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Hold it right there. So this is Paul saying that at one time he was viewing people incorrectly, evaluating them incorrectly. He goes on to say, because he's keeping it 100, that there was even a time where he viewed who Christ was merely from a human point of view. Amen? And whenever you view Christ incorrectly, you're going to view people incorrectly. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. I want to read that same 2 Corinthians 5:16, but in the NIV translation. If you could give me the NIV, it says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. See, there's many people that's just using the word instead of a human point of view. Now it's using the wording from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no mas, no longer. So here, amen, the reason there's quarrels and fights in the church at time, because we view one another from a worldly point of view, from a human point of view, but not from a Christ point of view. And you're saying, Pastor, I know it wasn't my fault. I'm in the spirit. That brother, that sister's in the flesh. I know I was right. Let's go to that same 2 Corinthians 5:16, but in the Message Bible. Get this one. It says, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have. Ooh. This is the VO translation. By what they have? How many have ever fallen in love with someone by what they had? Not based on who they were, but what they had. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. Andale. How many have ever buddied up with someone because of what they have and how they look? Man, the altars are open. Holy water. But how many have ever overlooked somebody that doesn't have anything? Not looking all that. And that's why there's problems. And that's why many are not willing to go to the streets today after the service. Who wants to spend time bringing love to a wino, a drug addict, a crackhead, heroin addict, that's somebody's mother, somebody's father, somebody's son, somebody's daughter. Because they ain't got nothing to offer, and they ain't looking too hot either. So I'd rather just keep going the way I'm going. Because I base my decisions on what people have and how they look. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once. And got it all wrong. This is Paul speaking. He's not just claiming that he was wrong. He was claiming he was 100% wrong. Going the wrong way, viewing Christ, amen, based on what he had to offer and what he looked like. Says that he didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a house. Peter and John, who would want to be one of them disciples that say, silver and gold or whatever, I have none. Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Too many locked in the silver and gold and not on Jesus. We all want to have things. I want to have things, but there's an order, and the order comes with Jesus first. So I was like, I don't want to be one of his disciples. Every last one of them guys are broke. But every last one of them were carrying the presence of God. Minus Judas that were able to heal, deliver, do signs, wonders, and miracles. See, your money can't take you too far. It can only take you so far. And sooner or later, in each and every one of our lives, Jesus is going to have to kick in. And for those that love money, when you get older, 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 and you're not able to make it no more, you're going to have a big problem. And I believe too many, because we are looking at people from a human point of view, from a worldly point of view, from a view of what they got and how they look like. It's why you miss it. Paul says, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Something changed within the life of Saul to become Paul. Something changed. Where all of a sudden he wanted to become the best disciple of the Lord. Now we look inside. Not what somebody has, that's on the outside. What they look like is on the outside. Human point of view, on the outside. Worldly point of view, it's on the outside. What you see. There's a saying that says, what you see is what you get. Not true. Not true. He says, now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. It's created new. Paul and the disciples got to a place within their lives where they knew that the truth within the people's lives they were viewing and looking at, that the truth was inside their life. These are guys in the rehab, and God is looking inside of their lives right now. Inside of their lives. It's where the defects lie, inside of their lives. It's where the fountains of gushing waters flow, amen? Inside. What's taking inside place inside your life is what the truth really is. Amen. You might have come, walked in, looking beautiful, smelling beautiful, smiling beautiful, but inside, it doesn't match up to what's taking place on the outside. So if the outside is not the truth and can mislead, why would we want to evaluate people by what they got or what they look like? Ooh. Why, if the truth is inside, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Who needs a fresh start here this morning? You're there, Pastor? Man, you're doing me dirty right now. It's almost like you're twisting my wrist right now to be made aware that I'm bogus. That I've been going the wrong way. That I need to start going the right way. And if I am, something's got to take place inside of my life that money and gold and silver and he or her can't do. It's got to be an inside work that only the Holy Ghost can do. You see, not even a heart surgeon can give you a happy, joyful heart. Joy comes from the Lord. You can get a heart transplant. You can throw that old crusty hardened heart of yours away and they can give you a brand new one and you'll still be going the wrong way. Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. The Message Bible says it's created new. See, some of you feel, oh, I've been going this way, oh, so many years. What the heck? I'm going to stay on this one. I know this path well. I just put up with her. I'll just put up with him. I'll just put up with the kids. I'll just put them up. Let's fight. Come on. Ding, ding. Let's just start fighting right now before the service is over. What the heck? We're going to do it anyhow, leaving the church. Let's just show the pastor that we're real, that we keep it 100. But you know what's not allowing you to do it? The presence of the Lord is making you. The girls are saying, he ain't talking about me. Is he? He ain't talking about me. The guys are, preach it, pastor, preach it. He ain't talking about me. You know why you ain't fighting right now during church? The presence of God. Presence of God make you stop doing things that you still want to do. Man, back in the days. The presence of God. How are we going to stop the old way? The presence of God. Where is it really going to take place? Inside. And God's grace and mercy is making us aware that we can't go off of what somebody has or how somebody looks like to think that inside that's going to make us happy. It's not. And a lot of you know what I'm saying right now. It's true. So when you fall in love, it better be the one. It better be the one. It better be the one. But let's say you're thinking, man, Pastor, I'm not with the right one. Revelation, I'm not with the right one. It could possibly be that you are, but you're out of the presence of God. And all you need is to act like you're acting right now by yourself, spending time with the Lord in the morning. Got up 5 in the morning, and I went and kicked it with Jesus and the chickens out there in the ranch. And I'm rocking back and forth. My worship music's going on. Because I want to know, I want the Lord to show me what's taking place inside. Because if I base it on what I see in our beautiful house, man, I should be jumping up and down. But what's really taking place lies within my life. And things cannot change what's taking place in my life. It's only the person, Jesus. The reason everybody's acting respectful is because we're in the presence of God right now. And some of you want to say something, but you're having a hold your lip or hold your tongue, bite your tongue, or whatever. Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. I was all jacked up in that prison cell. And the Lord gave me a fresh start. I was full of defects, demons, lies, just messed up. And I humbly say today that that's not me no more. Can that prison bird resurrect in 1 second? You better believe it can. You better believe it can. So what do? I get in the presence of God every day. Because there's a jailbreak wanting to take place in my life. How to keep the old man locked up? Presence of God. Presence of God. The presence of God. 365. Make all the conferences, all the regionals, the presence of God. Every time I'm there, he removes a defect, but he also deposits what he has to give. And what he has to give is so much greater what she has or what he has to give. No one can outgive the Lord. Because when he gives, he don't make you happy for a second. He transforms your life. He gives what you need with inside of your life. I got a lot of good stuff here, but I think enough's been said. Let me pick up my little stickies. Stickies going for $5 a piece. Anybody? Well, some of you buy holy water on 2 o'clock in the morning. They mail it to you. You pay all this money for some holy water. Somebody puts on a rag or baby oil on a handkerchief. What needs to change in your life right now? What needs to change in your life? You can try to change it. Oh, you can be the best boy, the best girl. You can do your best, but it'll never be good enough. You're going to have to get in His presence. He knows when to remove that defect. He knows when to deposit something that is of Him. Because He'll never give it too early or too late, but just in time. Because if He does it too early, we have a bunch of spoiled Christians. What is it that you need from the Lord? What is it that you wish could change? I want to let you know it can happen. I don't care how long it's been going on. It can happen. It can happen. But you're going to have to do your part and sit with Jesus. I remember when we were on the south side on 24th, between 24th and 25th and National. My office was upstairs and there was a big window that faced all the action on National. Amen. See all the dope dealers. Back then they still had those pay phones at the Quick Mart in the corner. All the dope dealers would be around the phone, the prostitutes. And watch all the action. Bullets flying and everything. And there was, at that time, I would study all through the night. It was real hard for me to come with messages back then. And my light would be on. I had a big old window. It was like a 10 by 10 window upstairs. And I would sit right in front of it, right? And I was like, praying in tongues and praying and praying. I says, man, then I started tweaking more than the ones walking by. One day, I said, if anybody's looking at me right now, they're saying that pastor on drugs. Because I would start early in the morning, Saturday, all night, all the way to the morning. I would start without sleeping. I would go preach. I wouldn't go to sleep. I did that for years. And all of a sudden, I started like tweaking, closing the blinds, instead of leaving everything open. I said, I felt like somebody was looking at me. Then it was getting really hot in the church. There was a season where it was rock'em sock'em. And I kept thinking somebody was aiming a gun at me. That's when I would be up there praying. I said, the bullet's coming, it's coming. I said, Jesus, for you, anything. And then I also thought, if somebody's just looking at me right now, they think I'm retarded. That's a retarded pastor up there. He talks all night by himself with nobody in the room. And I became a very wise man from talking all by myself, but the Lord was in the room. 25th and National. The Lord was in the room. And little did I know, I was trying to prepare messages for you guys, but little did I know that He was removing defects and depositing His purpose. Removing defects, depositing His purpose. Where I can preach now without going rated R. You need to learn how to get in the presence of the Lord. If you want your marriage to work, your children to work, the job to work, for it to work here in the church and ministry. And whenever you do put yourself in the presence of the Lord, you will get involved in the church. Because the presence of the Lord will gravitate you to be used in the church. Because that's part of what He deposits in you. When He removes the deep, He puts church in you, puts ministry, He shakes up the gifts. And that's what happened in my life. I was the least to succeed in the church, but God raised me up. Why? I kept putting myself in the presence of the Lord. I myself was a box of rocks. And I continue to place my life in the presence of the Lord. In the good days, when everything was hitting the fan, I continued to put myself in the presence of the Lord. Because I come to a place in my life that no matter what I go through, He's greater, He's in control, and I just got to keep trusting Him and putting myself in position with the Lord. Because I love Him for what He did in my life. For simply just sitting in a chair with the Lord. What are you willing to do here this day? On your busy schedule when Monday comes around. Would it not be wise to spend a little time in the morning with the Lord? And say, Pastor man, that message was for me. Because the present Lord don't only change you, but He'll transform you. And you're not who you think you are. You're not. Until you try the presence of the Lord. And then you can come to a place in your life saying, now I know I am who God called me to be. Too many church people just acting like the world and going to work every day and coming back and going to work every day and coming back, paying the bills, fighting like cats and dogs and going to work every day and coming back, paying the bills, cutting the grass. And we all got to do that. But we need to learn how to start our day in the presence of the Lord. There needs to be an order that He is first. That He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of our life. So I testify here this day, if He did it for me, I know He can do it for you. But remember, the presence of God will make you stop doing things if you really want it. You're going to have to stop justifying why I still do this, but you don't want any pastor, it's not really that bad. Yes, it is. If your point of view is saying it's not really that bad, that means it's bad. God's calling it sin. And He's making you aware of it. Do you want breakthrough? Jesus says, I'll make you aware of your defects. I'll make you aware of your sin. And all I ask of you is to come to me on a daily basis and spend time with me. And I will go inside your life. I will go inside that mind and transform you. And allow you to become who you really are as the worship team makes their way. I don't know about you, but it's one thing to be lost for a minute, but to live a life 40, 50, 80, 90 years old and never becoming who Christ called you to be, the good thing here this morning is that all of you have been made aware. So all of you have the same opportunity to get your breakthrough and to become who you really, really are. Not who you've been claiming, vato loco and all this stuff. That don't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. On a good day, that stuff don't work. Because that's not really who we are. And you want to gangster up for Jesus. Amen. Be willing to say, I'm willing to die for Christ. I'm willing to go all out for Jesus because of what He's done for me as we stand this beautiful day. Whatever it is, love. The presence of the Lord is a good thing. It's a good thing. He allows you to become who you really are. He makes mom wrong. He makes dad wrong. Brothers and sisters wrong. And everything that's been spoken to you that is negative of who you are, they're all wrong. And I want to let you know the good news this morning is that you can be right, but right in Christ. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. We can't go off of things and looks and get it right. The truth lies within sight, each and every man and woman. And here this day, the Lord wants to bring breakthrough through His presence. Through His presence. Through His presence. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He wants to renew minds through His presence. He wants to bring healing through His presence. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Become who you really are. Become who you really are. And stop struggling with who you really are not. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Of the Lord, He's removing defects right now, and He's depositing who He is in your life right now. The presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. Oh, the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. You gotta go beyond being a good person. You gotta go beyond being a good person. But a godly person, a godly man of God, a godly woman of God. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to do it for you. You're going to have to desire this change from within your life. Nobody's going to do it for you. You got to want it for yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants all of you, all of you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Cleanse, cleanse, wash, sanctify, Lord. Cleanse, wash, sanctify, Lord.